Okay, this is October 25th, 1989. I'm Bill Jones, and today I'm interviewing Richard Seitz, longtime professor of art at Morehead State University and chairman of the art department for many years as well. Richard, suppose we start off with just having a brief biographical sketch from you so that we get the overview of where you've been, what you've studied, where you've studied, and where you've worked in your profession.
Well, I was born in Hungary, in Budapest, Hungary. I went to gymnasium, the secondary college or university preparatory education there, in a school which was run by the Cistercian monks. And I finished high school or gymnasium at the time when the communists just took over the country. And as a class alien, because my father was an architect, I couldn't get into university.
You weren't from the worker class, is that it? Okay.
I also identified with religious and political views of the Cistercians, so I joined the Cistercian order. And I started to study philosophy and theology with the ultimate goal to go on and, according the Hungarian Cistercian tradition, to take on another line of studies after I finished the basic philosophy and theology. In the process, the communists further advanced and the resistance hardened, and just before our abbot and Cardinal Mincenti was arrested, I had the opportunity, due to the order of the abbot, to leave the country and escape through the Iron Curtain, and ended up in Rome when I finished philosophy and theology and started to study some archaeology. Also, I was in the process very much interested in art, and I went to art museums and exhibitions as much as I could, and start to sketch and do watercolor, small paintings of various sites I found interesting. And as a result, I get a somewhat greater insight into art than would have had otherwise. So in 1953, had an opportunity to come to United States to one of the Cistercian houses in Wisconsin. And this was a priory which was taken over by the Hungarian Cistercian from the Dutch Cistercians. And our group had connection with Marquette University, and we had an opportunity to go to school there. I started to study pre-architecture in Marquette University. And for the summer of 53, I decided that for relief, go to Leighton School of Art, since I didn't know any English in January yet, and in September already I went to school, and after a full year of studying in English, pre-engineering and pre-architecture, I was rather exhausted, and it was a relief to go to do some artwork. And I enjoyed the art school so much that when an opportunity came up to join my colleagues, fellow Cistercians, who've been all trained as college professors, then I chose to continue in art and became a candidate to be a founder of an art department in University of Dallas in Dallas, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, the Diocese of Dallas and several religious orders did establish that university, and by the time I arrived, it was going for a few years, so I had a chance to
actually raise funds, start the first classes. And after 6 years when I left, we had an MFA program running in the school, and I was the division chairman of art, music, and theater. But at that time, I also, in the process, I realized that teaching and art is more my major interest, and I was drawn into the religious framework just because political reasons. So I asked for release from the order, and I took the opportunity to take a Fulbright lectureship and consult the University of Guadalajara, the independent university, as how to put together an art program and art building. And from Dallas I left to there. After almost a year working with them, I joined the advertising firm as a vice president. And
was this in Guadalajara now, or
that was back in Texas?
Back in Texas.
Back in Dallas. Mm-hmm. And I married, and then I was again realizing the best to go back to education, and was looking for another appointment, and this is how I got to Morehead.
And so you arrived.
It was in 1966.
1966.
In March, in a big snowstorm, I arrived.
Oh, what an introduction.
Yeah.
Oh. And what was the size of the art department?
When I came here, the first contact with Morehead was in January, and discovered at that point that already an art building is under construction. And this was the old Center for the Art with mm-hmm. the Art, Music, and Theater equally sharing the building.
You moved into that in 67?
66.
66 you moved
fall.
Into it. Okay.
So I suggested that probably best if I would take over as a chairman in the fall. And that was the idea. Then I better come here to learn the ropes a little bit in the spring. Mm-hmm. So I moved in the spring, and I start to teach in the spring quarter as a faculty member. And Mark Stratton was a temporary chair at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then I took over the chairmanship in the fall.
In the fall of 66. Mm-hmm.
No, the department was up in the third floor of McLean Hall at that time, in three rooms, and we had, I think, all together, let's see, probably four, and I was the fifth faculty
mm-hmm.
member.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was Mark Stratton, Jack Youngquist, Lyle Lasky, and...
historian, I suppose.
No, Mark Stratton was originally an artist.
Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm.
And... then was a young woman who was teaching art education in the campus school.
I see.
And
so that was the department.
Myself, that was
when
the
you
department,
arrived.
And that was around 50 or so majors mm-hmm. At that time.
And I presume a substantial proportion of those majors were preparing to be art teachers.
Yes, as far as I know, all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And. They received teaching certificates, either elementary or secondary level.
That was the pattern for an awful lot of the majors, wasn't it, at Morehead State
at that time. Yeah.
Right. As you look at the department now, clearly it's much larger, both in terms of faculty and students. Just what size department do you have?
Right now we have... over 200 majors, and last, according our perception at this time of the year,
mm-hmm.
is that we are around 220 or so, and we have 11 faculty members full time, and we have two adjunct faculty members.
Mm-hmm. And as far
the shopmaster and secretary.
Shopmaster full-time and secretary. as far as degree programs are concerned, there's quite a substantial change too.
Well, one of my first tasks was to revamp the curriculum, as I heard the rumors that in Minneapolis, that was a word out that don't hire more head people because they're not too terribly well trained. And the faculty was concerned also about the curriculum. So I right away in the first year revamped the curriculum and introduced foundation level courses and the middle level introduction or technique type of courses, and then the upper level courses, and very much intensified the curriculum. The chairman preceding me was very much of a Lohenfeld follower, whose philosophy was to create an atmosphere and facilities and provide the materials and let the art students learn by themselves. And I felt as I was taught both in Europe and in the States that it is important to actually teach, and there are a lot to be taught in art also, and not just to provide the facilities.
The art major of today, of those 200, what, 20 or 30 might be preparing to teach?
Not quite.
Not even that many?
No.
Not even 10%?
Maybe 10, if the most. Well, if you would consider the committed or those students who more or less gel the idea that they will be in art education, then maybe about 10, 15. But you know, potentially there are more, perhaps.
And the bulk then of the students are either in graphics, I presume, graphic design?
I would say graphic design, illustration, at least half. And then art education is the next major block. And then
just
divided between photography, printmaking, drawing, painting, sculpture, ceramics, and art history. We have a few art history.
And of course, we might as well make it a matter of record, you also have considerably different facilities now.
Well, at that time when we had the dedication of the new building, when I just came, that was during the winter, the dedication of the building. We had some interviews, something similar to this. And I thought that this building is quite nice, and we are grateful to have it, but I hope sometime soon we will have another building which is really built for art. And at that time, President Neumeier wasn't too happy with my remark.
Actually, that building was built to house three different programs, wasn't it? Theater, speech, and art, and music.
It was very difficult to establish, for example, a foundry, and even we managed to set a fire the roof one time for with the kilns in ceramics. So we retrofitted as much as we could, but it was clear that we are growing out of that space very soon. And about 10 years ago, we actually moved into the new building, which was conceived as an art factory and studio, and not as a classroom building used for teaching art.
It's pretty hard for the ideal, of course, is to have the arts all together, so to speak. But artists are so messy, and musicians are so noisy, and it's pretty hard for them to be too close together anyway.
Well, nevertheless, I think if there is one department we are very close to and very fond of each other, is music. They often play in our openings, and we are in the middle of the music department with our old gallery, which is still in operation.
Right.
And general mutual cooperation and mm-hmm. assistance is alive.
Let's talk a little bit now about, we've talked about your the development of the department, and obviously you've had a leadership role in this development. Let's talk about you as an artist, because clearly you've been a producing artist during this period, and I think it'd be interesting for us to hear about that, the kind of media that you've chosen to work in, and some of the pieces that have become a part of the environment around here.
Originally, I started out with the General Foundation and Leighton School of Art, and been involved both in drawing, painting, printmaking, and sculpture, but as a major emphasis in printmaking, and that was my main field. And I continued with that at University of Wisconsin in Madison, and when I got my MFA, it was also in printmaking.
Now, you went there after you were here?
No. It was right immediately
after the
Leighton. I continued on, so I went straight.
Okay. Now, Leighton, however, is not part of the University of Wisconsin, is it?
No, Leighton School was an independent art school.
Okay.
And it is not defunct, but the faculty reconstituted another art school, which is now Milwaukee School of Art and Design. Mm-hmm. And it is a flourishing, wonderful institution.
Oh,
it's a very large art school now.
So that was a little gap that we didn't fill in there. You left Leighton and you went right to the University
I guess
of Wisconsin.
My
and
Master of Science in Art Education and Master of Fine Arts, I guess.
Okay.
Both in
University of Wisconsin. Now you were, printmaking was your major medium at that time.
Mm-hmm. But I did work in sculpture and also in painting. Practically all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But now when I got to Dallas, gradually the need developed that I do more sculpture work. I have done some pieces for the monastery there, and not only for the Cistercians, but for the Dominicans and Benedictines. I have done statues like St. Albert and St. Bernard and Holy Family and a variety of smaller pieces. These are larger pieces, and then also some two-dimensional triptychs and illustration type of work and so on. And just before I left the monastery, I received some commissions or at least challenges to build some fountains, and the fountain building, sculptural fountain combination of water and three-dimensional forms, which somehow became my specialty and expertise. And I still do time to time other type of work, but this is somehow the main thread all the way through. And I have done quite a number of commissions in Texas, Georgia, Missouri, and lately mainly in Minneapolis.
Certainly, the one, as far as this region is concerned, that everyone is aware of is the one in West Acres. That was your piece,
yes,
wasn't it? Yeah. And that was commissioned by the architect,
Well, both the developers and the architect participated. Mm-hmm. Previously to that, I have done another piece, which is in a TNI building. Neuropsychiatric Institute. Now it is named something different. But
yeah, I haven't kept track of its evolution, but I know where it is, and I know the piece. Clearly, I would guess that the one in West Acres is a piece of art which has provided an art experience, an art environment to probably more people than, well, there are not many pieces of art that can compare in that respect.
Well, no, I'm sure that it's contributed somewhat to the environment, but unfortunately I'm not too terribly happy with the state of that piece as it is now. Quite soon after it was installed, they decided to dismantle the piece and substitute it for the season with a Christmas tree, and then at Easter time with Easter bunnies, and this was repeated quite a few times, and the constellation of various parts has been changed, and then ultimately somebody decided that the natural patina of copper, which was produced with acid, and the chemical quality of the water was not good enough, and they painted in John Deere green, which certainly doesn't add to the appearance to the piece. And unfortunately, the management is not sensitive enough to be persuaded to keep it up in the proper way. The upper part was beautifully functioning as graduated streams of water, which were shooting up and controlled by tiny valves, and all that has been clogged up and shut up because they refused to service the filters, which was provided and was very easy to change and clean, but they haven't been willing to do that maintenance and tending what is necessary for any kind of fountain, basically, and sort of is running in just the middle portion, where is much easier accessible to begin with.
It's illustrative of something that's a basic problem for artists, isn't it? Is as to what kind of rights the artist has regarding his or her work once it has been conveyed to another, to an owner.
And the American Uniform Commercial Code maintains that once you sell any kind of goods, then the owner can do with it whatever the owner wants. In contrast to that, that there is another belief in Europe in general, especially in France, where artists enjoy the principle of, you know, the law of paternity of an artwork, where there is a connection between the artist and the artwork is retained, and the artist has some say-so.
Can that be entered into, that kind of agreement entered into in a contractual arrangement?
And now it is more common to use this kind of contractual arrangement, and for a long time I wouldn't do any or sell any artwork without having that kind of arrangement. However, at the time when this commission was done, all this was in its infancy, and you just barely heard about it. And I had a contract that was one of these initial Projansky, rather cumbersome and long contracts, and the owners didn't want to even read that, much less sign it. And when they offered for me a subcontractor contract, I refused to sign it. So finally, I just did the work, and they paid me, and that was it.
Now you have some other works in this region. You have two in Fargo.
I have another one in public area. It is at the corner of the downtown store of Strauss. Strauss mm-hmm. men clothing store. Mm-hmm. That was the very first piece I have done.
Oh, yeah.
And then beside that I have at least three private, what I can suddenly recall, mm-hmm. pieces mm-hmm. in the immediate mm-hmm. area.
And then you have some in the Twin Cities area too.
I have one at the Normandale condominiums next to the golf course as a vestibule place. I have a three-story sculpture with six life-size figures in Robbinsdale First Bank, and I have the last one is in a development in South St. Paul, mm-hmm. and I cannot suddenly recall the name, Highland Ridge Apartments mm-hmm. is the place, again in a vestibule
okay.
of entry of a major area.
Let's talk a little bit about art in this particular community. Actually, this oral history project is an attempt to explore people who've had important roles within the community and the possible impact on the community itself. That number of art students that have graduated from Morehead State, you'd expect that that might well have an impact on the community. And clearly the community itself has moved some direction, at least as far as shows and private and public galleries. There's been a considerable amount of development there, at least from my unpracticed eye. It seems mm-hmm. that has occurred. And I guess I would be interested in your review of how you see Morehead State grads and maybe faculty members too, as far as that's concerned, involved, and whether you can see more art consciousness, more development along this line within the community, and particularly what Morehead State's department, what role that department has played in this.
Well, we just had last weekend a Minnesota Art Educators Conference hosted by the Morehead art teachers and Morehead State University and the Plains Art Museum jointly. Mm-hmm. And in connection with that conference, we had a workshop, and the workshop continued with a workshop for the Morehead art teachers. And I only found one of the art teachers who are employed in Morehead, who was not Morehead State University graduate.
Right.
And if you look around in Fargo, probably a very major portion of those teachers get at least one degree here, if not their undergraduate, then their graduate degree mm-hmm. at Morehead State. I am glad to realize that Morehead State graduates are most welcome these days, any place, and they have a very good reputation. We assured that not only with the original revised curriculum, but also updating the curriculum and adding another extra year, which is the BFA year, and that strengthens the special expertise of our art teachers, so they're very well able to stand any kind of competition in their artwork or in their education in any respect. Mm-hmm. And similarly, our graphic designer or other students who wish to go to graduate school. So that to begin with, you can see throughout the region that our influence is very much there and evident. Talking about region, there was a major graphic design conference at Bay Lake just about a week and a half ago, and among the conference organizers are Morehead State graduates. National Graphic Designers Association president a year or so ago was a Morehead State graduate. Some of the firms which are published most in graphic design magazines are featuring our former students as top designers, and one of the most prestigious firms in Minneapolis, the Duffy Group, features now crew of designers that are all Morehead State graduates.
Really?
And these are highly published and very mm-hmm. prestigious firms. Mm-hmm. And there are a number of our former students who own their own small firms, or some of them not too small firms.
Mm-hmm. How about the gallery situation in Fargo-Moorhead? I would guess when you arrived, it was pretty well just the Rourke Gallery, wasn't it?
Well, now at that time, the Red River Art Center, which is now the Plains Art Museum, was inexistent.
Okay.
That institution went through some very, very hard times. And it was... very fortunate that always happened to have around somebody who really made the last ditch effort to
keep them alive
mm-hmm. until finally the North Dakota gambling laws permitted that they have these charitable gambling funds support the institution, and really at that time took off.
Mm-hmm.
But especially I have to mention Jim Rourke, who was one of these links, and not only his own gallery, which was for a period of time sort of part of the Plains Art Museum complex, but you know, his gallery plus what he has contributed to the art scene in Moorhead and Fargo is immeasurable. I think he's a historic figure, and
mm-hmm.
and his personal sacrifices and endurance is most admirable.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as other galleries, we had a number of private attempts to come and go throughout the years. One seemed to survivor persist, which is a cooperative gallery which called Gallery 4 and was located in various places in the Delandres' building first, and then moved over to downtown Fargo and the former Sears building, the Elm Tree Square, and now they moved to Moorhead Central Mall. And there's a coalition of artists which evidently it started with four artists or something like that, first very few, and now they feature many, many artists, and they are selling reasonably well so that they can keep their nose above the water. And their quality is quite reasonable, is not... very high and experimental art most of the time, but something which is certainly an asset to any home, and for any home you can find or office appropriate pieces in mm-hmm. that place.
Mm-hmm. How about these regional art shows, like there is a Fargo regional art show, for example, which they had this fall. How does that relate to the art scene? Is this pretty much amateur craft sort of thing, or is it?
Well, I consider art as a like a pyramid. It has to have a wide base, which is might not have too great depth or height, and that gradually, as getting higher and higher, is narrowed in the cross section. And I think the street fairs and art sales and the sale opportunities in such places and regional art show or annual competition of some sort or another or invitational art show, they are all various levels of sophistication, and all are very respectable efforts and very respectable contributions to the total scene, and all very necessary. And unfortunately, our particular area doesn't have the population base to support a very wide art activity. It needs to have a much a greater number of people who then constitute a sufficient enough of an art market and art interested public to support more art activity. I think in relation to the size of our population here, the support is respectable. I don't think so it is completely reached all its potentials, but certainly respectable. And it is strengthening, and I think perhaps the weakest link in the whole art scene is the public schools, because I don't think so that with all this push and shove for improving education, the visual arts have either found their true mission and value and be able to communicate that value to the administrators to the degree that they would have the dignity and the role what they should play in education. It is especially hard for me to see all the struggle on the basis of my own education and experience. When I had the opportunity in gymnasium to already cover the survey of Western art by the time I graduated from secondary school, and had quite a bit of expertise in basic art skills and also Hungarian folk art or regional European folk art. And it is anything not even near to this what high schools accomplish, and we start out basically from scratch in our classes. When we encounter first time the freshmen, we cannot have any kind of portfolio requirement for students to enter, because no matter if they are from the immediate region or in at large from Minnesota or anywhere in the country, the students who come here have very sketchy art preparation, if they have any. And many high schools don't offer any kind of art. And they start out with the ground zero. And in Europe, not only those who went to art or art-related field had that kind of art education as I had, but absolutely everybody who went to higher education had to have that. And consequently, we had a much better educated public. And that public, what is missing, because the public at large, the doctors, the lawyers, the engineers, and all sorts of other fields of professional people. They simply don't have the understanding, the sensitivity, and the perception what's necessary to plug into the visual culture and have a visual literacy to speak of.
And this is not just characteristic of this region. This is a national problem.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, it's not realized that other countries, which we respect and deal with, have an entirely different approach to the arts than United States, and we rely largely on voluntary private support for the arts, and very little national policy, except occasional negative reactions what we are encountering recently with Mapplethorpe and Serrano and Jesse Helms.
Yes, Senator Jesse Helms has managed to make political capital of some of this.
Yeah.
Is it possible to characterize any significant trends as far as art itself is concerned, as it has affected the art majors at Morehead State? Is there something, and even go one step further, is there something that serves to identify to something that is distinctive to Morehead State graduates? As far as trends,
I think we are providing a quite solid but relatively conservative art education. What I can see as a greatest value that we are not imprinting on the students any particular style or trend or conviction.
There are no miniature Richard Seitz is graduating so forth.
And none of the other faculty is pushing actively their studies. Naturally, students learn what somebody able to teach.
Sure.
And they have some traces what you can certainly discover in the students' work, but we like to keep them thinking and creative individuals. They learn the basic principles, the techniques, how to develop concepts and how to execute concepts and come up with the expression. But we don't push them in one direction
or another. The producing artists, is there a you hear of various schools of art. Is there any common characteristic, or are there characteristics that you might say a lot of artists share within this region?
There is a certain flavor what you might be able to detect. Perhaps is what in this particular region is that the lack of contour in the landscape, which permits people to more concentrate either on detail or the overall big structure of sky and land and some landscape features which are much more subtle and different than dramatic mountains or hills or water or such things. So the major elements like Haydn's green elevator and highway horizontals and fence lines and just bands of color. It is not so much literal as in abstract and conceptual terms. Some of the characteristics come through. And more the mature artists who live in this region who display this kind of characteristics, those who are just starting to study or younger people, they don't boil out yet. A very strong trend.
Takes a while for the environment and everything else to kind of get distilled and have an impact eventually. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I think we've covered at least most of the areas that I wanted to cover today, but in any of these interviews, I always leave an open agenda item, and if you think there are some other things that would be of interest that ought to be on tape, obviously this is the time to take advantage of the opportunity.
I hope that the interest and support of visual arts will be a continuing one, in not only at Morehead State but in the community, and I hope we don't miss future opportunities. We had a few which was unfortunately not followed up or continued. We had some quite good ideas which would have made Morehead more successful in every way, like if the cultural bridge would have been built as a reality. I just recently visited Columbus, Indiana, where they have a couple of dozens major architects contributed not only to church buildings from Elo Serenin and
Commercial
Serenin and Pei with the public library and countless major architects.
One very enlightened industrialist there.
Yeah. And they have two Fortune 500 companies which helps, but the community as such are very enlightened. And it wasn't to begin with the industries who started that trend, but people in the community who brought in Serenin as a pioneer. And Columbus, Indiana is very much benefiting financially in every which way from their investment and thoughtfulness in this direction. So it's, architecture is very obviously a first point where you can perceive the aesthetic and visual sophistication of a community, and I would like to certainly see that Fargo and Morehead would move in that direction, because in this town certainly will grow in the next 50-100 years very substantially, and there is an opportunity to really build in quality and not just a quick profit-oriented utility in the thinking. My other major concern I have in education, in art education, and I feel that our students, mainly in elementary level, are very much shortchanged. Art, teaching art is a vehicle to teach lots of other things about other sciences and humanities and life and self-realization in, and establishing identity and personal balance and self-respect. And I don't think so that art is utilized and taken advantage of. It's not so much that we want to see art to be taught for its own sake, or just appreciation of great old monuments, or build a constituency to support artists who can play with their ideas, but add to the quality of life, and that starts certainly in the early ages, and again shouldn't be forgotten in a curriculum which is leading to college level experience and college level studies or university studies, that those people need their cultural background in visual terms also, not in not only in mathematics and reading. You know, our entire culture is moving in communication from the linear, you know, reading to more acoustic and auditive and visual communication through, you know, computers and screens, where the visuals have to be perceived and evaluated. And I think our education should recognize these trends and move in that direction. So there's a lot to be done.
Well, nothing like having something to look forward to do then. Right. Well, thank you very much.
Okay, you're very welcome.